It's creepy, it's kooky, mysterious, and spooky. It's altogether ooky. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. My friends, we're talking about IP implementation, functional safety, and a roadmap to standardization. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of Accelera's new proposed working group that will focus on functional safety, let's start things off with a little news you may have missed. MIT is at it again, edition. Now, since we're talking about safety this week, what about our safety from infections? Now, a lot of us, myself included most certainly, take infections for granted. Oh shoot, I cut myself, reach for the hydrogen peroxide, band-aid, and bam, moving right on to the next time I cut myself. Seriously, you guys, I'm a klutz in just about every realm of life. So, not only are disinfectants like hydrogen peroxide super important to our everyday lives, at least mine, that is, they are also absolutely essential to the fields of medicine. But they are very hard to ship around the world, especially to remote villages in developing countries. But MIT has found a way around this whole shipping thing by producing germ-killing hydrogen peroxide on location by using just electricity, water, and air. Okay, so hydrogen peroxide 101 time. If you didn't know already, this super important antibacterial agent is actually just water with an extra oxygen atom. Now, the hydrogen peroxide that you have in your house, it runs at about 97% water, which if you consider shipping that around the world, that's a lot of excess weight from water alone. Okay, so I hear you loud and clear. What if we ship it with a higher concentration? Well then, it actually becomes rather reactive and thus potentially pretty unsafe and requires special shipping procedures. So, scratch that idea. Okay, what about making hydrogen peroxide on site? Well, not so fast. Normally, hydrogen peroxide is manufactured in large, energy-hungry chemical plants, where the source of that hydrogen comes from methane. Yeah, yuck. So maybe that's not the best idea either, right? Want to save lives with a simple disinfectant? Well, you're going to have to start with this giant chemical plant first. Yeah, probably not. Okay, so here comes MIT to save the day again. MIT has developed a way to create hydrogen peroxide from a compact, portable setup that uses little energy and requires absolutely no methane. Now, this technique does require some electricity. It's reportedly a small enough amount that it could be supplied by renewable sources such as wind turbines or solar panels. Okay, so first that electricity is used to break down water into hydrogen and oxygen using an electrolyzer. And then the hydrogen reacts with a carrier molecule. Now, it's that carrier molecule that is key here. It's actually a compound called anthraquinone. And after this first step, that compound is introduced into a separate reaction chamber where it meets with oxygen taken from the outside air and a pair of hydrogen atoms where it binds to the oxygen molecule to form, guess what? Hydrogen peroxide. So in this process, this carrier molecule is actually then restored to its original state, and the whole cycle can start all over again. So right now, the concentration of this new hydrogen peroxide is fairly low, but MIT scientists working on this project are confident that it can be significantly increased in the future. MIT's professor Yogesh Surendranath puts this technology in perspective. He says, "It's kind of an amazing process because you take abundant things, water, air, and electricity, that you store locally, and you use it to make this important chemical that you can use to actually clean up the environment for sanitation and water quality. Cool, right? Okay, so if you want any further information about this groundbreaking new technology, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a link to a white paper in Joule magazine called Electrosynthesis of Hydrogen Peroxide by Phase Transfer Catalysts. And now it's time for our main event, Accelera and the Roadmap to Functional Safety. Please welcome Brent Sherman from Intel and Adam Scherer from Cadence Design Systems, who are going to tell us all about Accelera's standardization initiative to address design automation and tool interoperability for functional safety. Let's go. Hi, Brent. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you for inviting me.
And hi, Adam. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Amelia. It's great to speak with you again.
Okay, so we are here today to talk about IP, functional safety, and security assurance. So first off, Brent, what problem is the Accelera IP Security Assurance Working Group trying to solve?
Yeah, so this working group got started from a problem that I was having with my current company. We were trying to identify security risk in our third-party supply chain, particularly IPs that are being integrated into our silicon. So I put together a process of requirements for the vendors to meet, and I quickly became aware that there were three problems I didn't see coming. The first one was, as this collateral was coming into me, it was in various formats that was making it very difficult to digest. Each collateral from the vendor was unique, making it inconsistent between trying to figure out the problems between each one of the vendors. The second problem that occurred was there was no way to verify the accuracy or the completeness of this collateral. I was 100% relying on the security skill set of the vendor themselves. Last, the question the vendors always came up with was not understanding the importance of security assurance at the IP level. They kept saying, you know, security objectives really are derived at the SoC, the ASIC level, not at a standalone IP, which is a problem within itself because IPs inherently will have a security risk as a standalone and at the integration level. So these were the three problems that this work group to find solutions to. To furthermore, one in three, I think the work group has a clear path to solving. Problem number two is not as clear, and that's because there's a dependency on tools that do not exist today.
So, Adam, what kinds of companies are you working with to help solve these problems?
So that's a great question, Amelia. We have a number of different companies in our working group, and we're collaborating together to try to develop this standard in the space and consider how that standard would be used. And I can group those companies, I think, into three major categories. There are IP providers. These companies are looking to really use the standard that we're developing to characterize the security associated with the IP that they deliver. There are systems integrators that want to understand how will they receive this IP, how do they judge the security associated with that IP, and how do they bring this together into larger, more complex systems. And then there are EDA companies that are looking to automate processes around the standard, maybe provide services and training, and those that effectively enable standard to proliferate in the industry. And together, we're looking at certainly the mission-critical applications, and these companies serve industrial, automotive, defense, medical applications, and consumer as well. So I think we have a broad coverage of industry interest to both develop the standard and guide us in how the standard would be applied.
So Brent, I heard you just produced a white paper on this emerging standard. So what kind of information is in this white paper?
Yes, good question. So first is the problem statement, the introduction, which is the problem that I've just mentioned. And then it highlights the methodology, the concept that we have in our head going forward of how the workflow, how the IP security assurance attributes, definitions into the standard, how that all looks going forward. Included with that methodology is a knowledge base. We call it the CIPSCE. It stands for the Common IP Security Concerns Enumeration. It's very similar to CWE with Common Enumeration that already exists. We're following that thinking for our knowledge base. And this knowledge base is comprised of known security concerns that we know today. And then last in the paper is some open core examples of how the methodology actually applies to real cores. And there's two examples in that paper that highlights that methodology and how the database can be used along with that methodology. And then at the end of the paper, we talk about the outlook going forward.
So, Adam, what kind of feedback do you want from the community in the discussion forum, and how will the working group respond to it?
Sure. So we're looking for a broad set of information. The white paper defines our best understanding of the characteristics that Brent just described. Is that complete enough? Have we done enough to describe the security aspects of IP component? Is there enough to connect it to those threats? Are we considering enough about how the IP would be used in a larger context? Are there other considerations that the end consumer of our standard needs to be aware of as they use it and any IP associated with that standard? Is there more that they would like to see in the standard in terms of how it could be automated? So we're looking for, is there additional information they would want to see covered in our standard? Now, these are contributions that are coming from a general community, and we believe there's a vast amount of knowledge and skill in that community, even beyond the members that are within Acelera. What we're looking for in response is, certainly, if you're interested and you're responding on the standard and you want to see those things implemented, we invite you to be involved, and maybe we'll come back on that point in a few minutes. But the working group is going to accept that information, and we will consider it. The group does work in private within Acelera, so we will accept the information. We may ask for more detail or additional clarification. We see that in the Acelera forums that we've set up, but we're going to have to take that work into the working group and consider it as part of that emerging standard.
So, Brent, what are the next steps for the working group as you develop this standard?
Yeah, we still have some open ends that we need to close out on. One of those is the data format of how this collateral should look, how the data model should be represented, possibly for a tool to help improve automation of this. We're looking at a few formats right now. XML, JSON are the two that we're looking at. There may be more. This is an ongoing discussion we need to have in order to move forward with an actual standard to produce. Second thing we have is the database itself, that the security concerns that we already know of today, building that database, not only the infrastructure of the database itself, but the actual content that's going into that database. We also have to define a process of how the greater community outside the Acelera community can contribute content to that database. That process has not been defined yet. So those are the three things we really need to focus on in order to move forward. Now, obviously, the last thing is actually writing the standard itself. So hopefully once we get those three things going, the standard would basically write itself at that point.
Okay, Adam. So how can our listeners get more involved on this important topic?
This is a great question. Really, what's driven us to produce the white paper to try to reach out to the community at this point in the standard development. So contribute to the forum. And Amelia, we'll provide you with a link. Contribute there. In fact, one of the questions follows what Brent has just described. Data model. So we're interested in getting some feedback from IP providers who may be outside of the working group on what type of data format they would prefer. We're gathering that information from the EDA companies as well and other members of the working group inside too. Getting that community information would be important because there'll be automation and usage that'll come around that data model. That's a good example of getting involved. You can join Acelera and be part of the working group and help us actually develop that standard. So that's an open invitation. If your company is a member of Acelera, talk to them already and look to join that working group. We will also have multiple public discussions coming up. Folks who were at DAC, we did have a panel as part of the Acelera lunch at DAC discussing the emerging standard, and we had a really great panel discussion. There's some links in the Acelera newsletter to that discussion, so you can read about some of the questions the audience asked there. We will have other events. We're working to get into other security-oriented working groups and public discussions over the next few months. And certainly there'll be a tutorial on our work at Acelera Day, which starts DVCon US at the end of February. And we'll provide details of these dates so your listeners, not just listening to the recording, will be able to read it in the copy associated with the recording for easy use.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Adam and Brent.
Thank you for having us, Amelia.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 1st, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.